This morning's title is Worry-Free Living. Worry-Free Living. Hopefully that gets you excited. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, start with verse 25 through the end of the chapter. And then we'll pray and get right into it. Again, Jesus is teaching. He says, verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Father, we say thank you for this text. We say thank you for this teaching. We believe it to be your words, so we believe that there's life in here. And so we ask, God, for you to give us that understanding. Lord, help us to understand what you're saying here, about how we can live a life without worrying about things. Show us this morning how to apply it to our life, so we can leave here today being doers of your word, and not hearers only. So come, Holy Spirit, we open up our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears, give us understanding, we ask. In Jesus' name. And the church said, you know, I find it in my own life and in people that I've ministered with over the years that we tend to only worry about things that we believe are out of our control. When we believe that something is out of our control, we begin to worry. You see, worry-free living starts with the belief that God is God. That's where it starts with. If you want to live a worry-free life, it starts with the reality or with the question that you have to ask yourself, is God truly God? Is he truly who the scriptures say that he is? Has he done what he says he has done? And if he is God, then that means that he is in control. So though we may feel like things are out of our control, worry-free living begins with the reality that says God is God, and because he is God, he is in control. And so now our question, to oversimplify this whole thing, comes down to, will I allow God to be in control? And when I allow God to be in control, now guess what? I don't have to worry. Because why? Because my Heavenly Father is now taking care of the situation. It's when I feel like God won't intercede or can't intercede, then we tend to pick those things up and try to control them and try to make things happen. And in doing so, in our own limited abilities as human beings, we find ourselves worrying about what if this takes place, what happens here. You don't have to worry about losing your job. In fact, you don't even think about losing your job until you hear the word budget cuts, right? And you go to work for years and you think, You've never worried about losing your job, but as soon as you hear management talking about the possibility of laying off people, now you start to worry. To say, oh, what is this going to affect me? We don't tend to worry about things as far as food goes if our pantry is full of food and our refrigerator is stocked. We don't worry about food. But when the pantry starts to get a little low and the refrigerator looks a little bare, then maybe we start to worry. See, it's in those situations that we feel like things are out of our control. Well, what if I lose my job? What if I don't have enough money to buy the food? We don't worry about paying our bills when we have, you know, our bank accounts are is full of money. It's when the bank account gets kind of low and then we get the stack of bills and then we start to worry. See, those are moments that things are out of our control. But when we feel like things are okay, when there's stability and comfort and that whole realm of things are going good, then we don't worry about stuff. We don't worry about our physical condition until the doctor gives that phone call or until we start not feeling very well and we go to the doctor and they start running tests. Then we start to worry. And why is that? Because we're questioning whether or not God is able or willing to take care of the situation. Worry, simply put, is defeated by trusting in God. Jesus has told us here in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. How can we do that? How can we live without worrying about our life? By trusting in God. If you trust in God in the area of the finances, it doesn't matter what's in your bank account, your bills will be paid. If you're trusting in God in the area of your provisions, it doesn't matter what the pantry looks like, you will be fed. If you're trusting in God in the area of your career, it doesn't matter what management's talking about, you will have employment. It may not be there. God may promote you by moving you to a different company, by laying you off. That's not the end of the world if you're trusting in God. But if you're not trusting in the Lord and you're trying in your own strength, then you ought to worry because there's no hope. I want to talk this morning a little bit about what worry means. In verse 25, we looked at this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. This word worry in the Greek literally means, and this is going to tie chapter 6 together, and some of you maybe have never seen this before. This word worry, some translations say, do not take thought for your life. This word worry literally means to be divided, causing anxiety. So do not worry about your life. In other words, do not be divided about your life. This goes back to what Jesus just finished talking about in verse 24. We looked at this last week. So go back to verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or God and mammon. Then he says, therefore, because of what I just told you, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not be divided about your life. That goes back to verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, or if your eyes are single, that piece of cloth that was folded once, that mind's eye that's focused on the Lord. We talked about this last week. We can put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is a rewarder of those that do good works. He comes with his reward. That's why we can trust him. And because he's a good master and we can put our faith and trust in him, then we don't need to be distracted by the things of the world. We don't need to choose or we don't need to try to serve two masters. No, we can set it in our hearts once and for all that God is God and we will serve him and take him at his word that he will take care of us. That he is a rewarder of those. When we do our deeds in chapter 6, verse 1, be careful, do not do your acts of righteousness before men. So there's an expectation that we do acts of righteousness. You will not do acts of righteousness if you are divided in your thoughts. If God is not God and you haven't settled that in your heart, then you will not do acts of righteousness. I mean, you may dabble in it a little bit, but it won't be your drive. And here we get to, so God tells us there's an expectation to the Christian to do works of righteousness. There's an expectation that God will reward us for those works of righteousness because of who he is, because of his very nature. And now he tells us, you can't serve two masters. You must choose the one. Why? Because the heart will naturally go to the one that it trusts. You can say with your mouth that you trust God all you want, but until you have the opportunity to show it through your actions, you don't really know. In other words, you don't know if you're a liar until you're given the opportunity to say a lie, right? You don't know if you're a thief until you have the opportunity to steal. And when you choose not to steal, then it reveals what's really in your heart. And now Jesus is telling us, do not be divided in your thoughts. Do not be divided in what your attention goes to, your mind's eye. And he summarizes it in the last verse by says, when he says, seek first the kingdom of God. So don't worry or don't be divided about these things. Don't be anxious about these things, but instead, let your mind's eye be single. Seek first the kingdom of God. And in doing so, all these other things that you're worried about, they're going to take care of themselves. Or correction, God will take care of them for you. Very powerful chapter as we combine it all together. And it's one of the difficulties of sermons is that, you know, we can't sit here for, you know, an 8-hour class and get it all in context. So it's important that as we build that you go back and you read chapter 6 and see it in context. So to the Christian here this morning, I want to remind you that you can live a worry-free life. You can live a worry-free life because of who your Heavenly Father is and his attributes and his character and what he says that he will do and what he has already done. To the non-Christian this morning, I tell you, you can leave here today without worries. Amen? Amen? Every Christian in this room should have said amen. You can. So some of you are like, I don't know, sure, Jason, no worries, come on. Well, let's look at this. I want to give you three things that worry does. If you're one of those worry warts, or you're always concerned and stuff about stuff, I'm going to give you three things that worry does. Number one, worry chokes out the word of God. The word of God will be choked out in your life because of worry. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 7. We're going to look at verse 7, and then we're going to jump to verse 22. Jesus has given a parable about the sower or the seed. And he says, other seed fell, this is verse 7, Matthew 13, other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants. Okay, so the sower comes, he throws seed on the ground, it starts to grow, it grows with the thorns come up and it chokes out the seed. Now go to verse 22, he's going to explain to us what he's saying. Verse 22, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So worry in your life will choke out the word of God. It will choke out the seed. It will choke out the gospel message. You will hear a message like today about hope, and hear a message about how your Heavenly Father will take care of things if you will just trust in him and let him take care of it. You don't have to worry. But worry will come, that thorn, and it will choke out. It has the potential of choking out this message today. The second thing that worry does is that it steals away your peace and it keeps you away from the Lord. Worry will steal away your peace, and it keeps you from pursuing the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. It's a story of Mary and Martha. Jesus is at their house. Martha starts serving the Lord, starts doing these things. Good thing. Mary chooses not to do that, and she goes and sits at Jesus' feet. Well, let's look and see what, verse 40. But Martha was distracted Ah, you see, she's divided by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, that's to Jesus, and asked, Lord, to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And look at Jesus' response, verse 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen. See, Martha was so worried about things, so divided, and all, even the good things that needed to get done, that it kept her from having peace in her heart, and it kept her from going and sitting at the feet of Jesus and spending time with him. Mary, on the other hand, chose the one thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. There are some here today who have been spending time at the feet of Jesus. But if we're really honest here this morning, there are some here today that have used not having the time to spend with the Lord. I got laundry to do. I got to take the trash. I have to go buy groceries. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. And the worry and all these things and being divided is keeping you from coming and sitting at, until you come and sit at the feet of Jesus. How many times, if we're really honest, we go about our day and then we hear the Holy Spirit calling our name, or we were reminded, oh, I want to spend time with the Lord. I never read my Bible in the last week and I just really want to do that. But then, oh, well, I got to go empty the dishwasher. Oh, I got to go put some load. Oh, I got to go reach us. From having peace in our heart, and it keeps us from sitting at the feet of Jesus. The third thing worry does is that it limits your faith. Worry will limit your faith. And this goes back to the very thing. What is the way to overcome worry? By trusting in the Lord. But what does worry does? It limits our faith. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, Mark, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus took him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Worry limits your faith. If you're worried about something, it means you're not trusting in God, your Heavenly Father, to take care of it, and it limits your faith. They did not believe that God would see them through. They were worried to the point of death. They were fearful. They were afraid. They were terrified. They're going to die. These are expert fishermen. These aren't just novices out there cruising around on some jet skis. These guys know what they're doing. They came to the place of Jesus, who's at peace. Why was Jesus at peace? He's sleeping. You can't sleep unless you're at peace, right? You try to sleep when you're worried about something. You try to sleep when you're excited about something. You can't. But Jesus is at peace. Why is he able to be at peace in the midst of a storm when everybody else was worrying? The reason is because Jesus gets on to the disciples and says, oh, you have little faith. Well, we've seen this already. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. We've seen this a few times in this text where Jesus says, oh, you have little faith, or do you not have any faith? If we look at verse 30. Today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And see, if we're worried about how we're going to take care of things, it limits our faith. So the question is this morning is, do you believe that your Heavenly Father is able to meet those needs this morning? And there's multiple of them. I want to give you a couple this morning. Examples of where God not only provided for the need, but preserved the thing that he provided. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 7. state all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast wilderness. These 40 years, listen closely, these 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything. You might know the story of Israel in Egypt to deliver them. And God does great things and delivers them from bondage. It's a picture of the Christian being freed from our old nature. We're freed from those things. God's desire was to take them to the promised land. The problem was, the older generation that left Egypt, God would take care of them. He didn't trust that God could meet their needs and provide what they needed. The younger generation was allowed to go into the promised land. And so now God is dealing with people on two levels. One generation, he's taking them through the wilderness. You see his grace and his mercy because he's pouring it out on them, but they don't get to go to the promised land. He's taking them to the promised land. And in those 40 years, they got food from heaven. Amen? God gave them food to eat in the midst of the wilderness. You know, you don't run down to your local grocery store and buy your groceries. It's the wilderness. It's a barren place. What did God do? He gave them water. Even from a rock. Now, I've been thirsty before, and I've never tried to squeeze water out of a rock. But the Lord did it. He met their need. And for some of you ladies, the Bible says their sandals did not wear out. Amen? I get an amen there from some of the ladies. The shoes, praise God, did not wear out. The men were happy too because they didn't have to go buy anymore, right? It's like, no, you don't need a new pair. Those have lasted you for 40 years. Praise the Lord. We see God when God sets them up for battle and to stand against the armies. You think they're going to trust the Lord to lead them in victory? Absolutely. Why? Because they've seen God bring them out of Egypt. They've seen God meet their need. They've seen God's power to bring food from nowhere. Maybe more than they'd come out except for on the Sabbath, and there it was. Double on Friday so they would have enough to eat on the Sabbath. God's provision out of nothing. Do you believe this morning that God can meet the provision, meet you where you're at and the thing that you're worried about? We just gave you an example. We see in Luke chapter 9 a similar situation where Jesus feeds the 5,000. They're in the wilderness. They're in a barren place. They need food. Jesus says, you feed them. The disciples are like, we ain't got nothing. What do you have? And Jesus takes the food from the little boy's lunch. He's got an extra value meal. He's got a happy meal from McDonald's, right? Five loaves and two fishes, and he multiplies it. Praise God, the God of our provider. And they have extra left over. Our God is able to take care of our situations, amen? Our God is able. Our Heavenly Father will meet those needs if only we will seek him first. If only we will not worry about those things. If we will not be divided in our attention to those things. Well, I need to serve God, but oh, I got to take care of. Serve God and let God meet that need. Serve God and let God do the miraculous. See, I believe when we try to do things for God, we get in the way and the miracles don't come because we're in the way. What are you worried about this morning? Do you believe that God says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God will work all things for your good? To those that love him, you see, those that are focused on him, those that have committed their lives to him. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands, right? It's that focus. It's being intentional to say, I choose to serve God because of who he is. I believe what the Bible says about him, and I will not be divided in my attention or in my mind's eye. Psalms 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God gives you favor and honor and that no good thing will he withhold from you? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God will hold nothing good from you? Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom. Have faith. Don't be in little faith. Have great faith. Trust in the Lord. Don't be divided. Here's a great verse, Psalms 37:25. Psalm 37:25. I was young, and now I am old. Can you say amen to that, anybody? I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God will be with you to the point that he will not forsake you? Do you believe that God this morning will be with you to the point to take care of you and your children, to take care of you and your family? We all know this verse, right? 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In the King James, it says, you know, cast all your cares instead of anxiety. That word anxiety, that word cares, means distractions. We have the same English word for two different Greek words. So for us to understand this verse, we have to look at it and see what this means. Cast all your anxiety, cast all your cares on him, cast all your distractions on him, cast all your divisions upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. So God is distracted by you? I might have distracted God a few times. I don't know. Jason, what'd you do that for? Come on. The other Greek word is interest. Cast all your distractions on him because he's interested in you. Amen? God is interested in you. Why do you need to worry about anything? He's interested in you. He says, give me all your distractions because I'm interested in you. Give me all your frustrations. Give me all your worries because I care for you. I love you. I will take care of you. Look at how the Heavenly Father, he takes care of the birds. He takes care and he clothes, you know, the lilies of the field better than Solomon, the richest king that's ever been. Doesn't even compare. God, who provided food from nothing and water out of nothing and allowed provisions over your clothing not to wear out for 40 years of wandering in the desert, that's a pretty powerful God. The God who does not worry when the storms of life come because he's more powerful than those storms. And you, like Christ, can be sleeping in the midst of the storm because your faith and trust is in him and you're not divided. You're not divided in your attention. Don't let worry keep you from sitting at the feet of Jesus like it did Martha. Don't let worry keep you having excuses as to why, oh, I got to go do this. And now, no, be single-minded. Let your eyes be good. Your mind's eye be good. Let it be focused on God and who he is and what he says that he will do. Put your faith and trust in him. This verse, I've shared this a few weeks ago, but I can't get past this verse. This continued comes back to me. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 through 4 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. That's a pretty good promise. That's why this morning I can tell you, you can leave today without any worries. Because the Bible gives us a promise that God will keep him in perfect peace. And here's the catch. Whose mind is stayed on thee. That's not being divided. That's not being distracted. God promises to keep you in perfect peace when your mind is fixed on him. That's a good verse, isn't it? And you're able, listen closely, you're able to put your faith in him and be focused on him because he trusts in God. God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. And if I'm trusting in my Heavenly Father, then I don't need to worry about the things going on around me. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to worry about tomorrow because my God will take care of me and my tomorrow. Amen? I don't need to worry about rumors about this or what other people are concerned about. Why? Because my Heavenly Father promises to keep me in perfect peace as long as I keep my mind focused on Him. I can only keep my mind focused on Him if I trust in Him. If I don't trust in Him, then I will start looking away from Him and try to figure out the situation in my own strength or other people's opinions. The verse goes on to say, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Powerful two verses. We all know Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Can we break down this verse for a second? He says, do not be anxious about anything. This is not a suggestion. This is a command, which means you're able to choose whether or not you're going to worry or not. Worry is not an emotion that you cannot control. Worry is a decision. And it's based on the decision of whom you're trusting. Will I trust my Heavenly Father, who has promised to not withhold any good thing from me, who has promised to give me what I need? Will I trust in Him or will I not? Worry is a choice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. It's in those situations that cause worry that we're usually not thankful, are we? When you start hearing those rumors about what's going on around you, you can say, God, I thank you for your provisions. I thank you that you're going to meet this need. I thank you, God, that you know the solution, even though I don't know what the solution is right now. I'm thankful that you do, and I'm trusting in you, and I'm choosing not to worry, and I'm choosing not to be anxious, and I'm choosing not to be divided in my mind's eye because I'm fixed on you, and I'm seeking you first, and I trust in you that you're going to take care of it. Praise God, and He will take care of it. We see it in the scripture. We see it in our own life. From being young to old, never seen the righteous forsaken. Praise God. If you do those things, this verse goes on to say, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When you choose not to worry because you're putting your faith in your Heavenly Father, God says He will give you peace that transcends or surpasses all understanding. And that peace will guard your heart and your mind. Guard it from what? Guard it from worrying. You will have peace. And nothing will be able to come along and steal that peace out of your life. Because that peace is what God has given to you. That's exciting, isn't it? Some of you seem like, well, I'm not sure, Jason. I kind of like worrying. If I wasn't worrying, what would I do all the time? Since this is a command, therefore, is something that we can choose to do or not do. It is not an emotion. You can choose to worry or not worry. And the way that you choose not to worry is by just letting God take control. Saying, God, the situation doesn't look good. The situation looks impossible. I'm not sure how we're going to do this. I'm not sure why this is happening, but God, I'm trusting in you. And just as you took care of your people when you brought them out of Egypt for 40 years, giving them food out of nothing and water out of nothing, and you took care of their clothes, Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to meet these needs. And I'm going to come and I'm going to sit at your feet instead of being distracted by all the things that need to get done. I'm going to come and put my faith and trust in you because of who you are and what your word says, that you will keep me in perfect peace. If my mind is stayed on you because I trust in you, I choose not to worry. I choose not to be anxious about these things. John chapter 14 and verse 27. I know there's been a lot of scripture today, but I want you to see it from the Bible, not my opinion. John 14, verse 27. Jesus is speaking. He speaks His powerful word. He says, peace I leave with you. Listen closely. My peace I give you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Again, these are commands. Do not be troubled in your heart. Why? Because God, Jesus Christ, has given to us his peace. As a Christian this morning, you have the peace of God in you. Amen? You do. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing from Ephesians. We've looked at these verses. You have peace in you. The peace of God dwells in you. You don't need to worry about the things that the world is worrying about because your Heavenly Father has given to you his peace. Your Heavenly Father is in control. Your Heavenly Father will take care of the situation if only we will allow him. The way we allow him is putting our mind fixed upon him, trusting in him, letting him take care of the situation. John 16:33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Take heart, be of good courage, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have already overcome the world. Let's get real practical this morning. What does this verse mean for you today? It means this. It means whatever you're facing right now, whatever is worrying about in the back of your mind, guess what? God has already overcome that thing. I've already overcome the world. He's overcome death. Amen? Our God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who was God in likeness of man. He died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. But he didn't stay in the grave. No, he rose again. Amen? He conquered death. Is there anything more worrying than death? We are worried about all these little things, right? But for us, we don't think that they're little. And then all of a sudden we find out, oh, I might have some disease and I might be dying. Well, then we realize, you know what? What kind of shoes I bought doesn't really matter compared to this thing, right? There's this spectrum of worrying, degrees. And Christ has already overcome death. So let me ask you this. What are you so worried about that's more devastating than death? And if you're worried about death, don't be, because Jesus has already overcome it. Amen? Some of you are starting to convince this morning. Some of you are like, I want to take my worry home, Jason. Peace. God has given to us peace. But take heart, I have overcome the world. He conquered the world. And when there's victory, what is there? There's peace, right? There's no more conflict. There's no more division. And it's that peace, that victorious peace, that God has given to us as his sons and his daughters. Mark chapter 10, go there if you would. Mark chapter 10. Verse 17. Jesus is sending out his disciples to go do ministry. He says in verse 17, Matthew chapter 10, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. It means they'll whip you. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. Did you catch that? Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So Jesus is sending out his 12, and he tells them, when you're brought before the synagogues, when you've been beaten and you're going to be in prison and they're going to start asking you these questions, he says, do not worry. Do not be anxious about what you're going to say. Why? Because your heavenly Father is going to speak through you with his Holy Spirit. You see, even in the midst of the, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You don't have to worry. Why? Because your heavenly Father has not left you. Your heavenly Father is with you, and his Spirit will speak through you on what to say. So even in that, you don't need to be the smartest person in the room. You don't need to be the wealthiest person in the room. You don't need to be the most powerful person in the room. If God is your heavenly Father and you're trusting in him, he's going to take care of it. He will speak through you. He will use you. He will bless you so you can be a blessing. You don't need to worry. And we close with the last verse, Matthew 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. It's a command. Church, this morning God is telling you, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about Monday. Don't worry about what's going to happen on Friday. Don't worry about what's going to happen in a month. Don't worry about it. But instead, give it to the Lord. Tomorrow has enough problems of its own. Enjoy today. Enjoy your Heavenly Father today. Do you trust, do you believe this morning that God is already working on your tomorrow? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God will meet your needs? Do you believe this morning that God will take care of you as your Heavenly Father? Can you trust your Heavenly Father so much as to not worry about the things of this earth, the things of this world? Can you trust God enough? You can. As a Christian this morning, you can. He's your Heavenly Father. He's proven his love for you. He's given to you eternal life. He's taken care of your eternity. You think he can't take care of, you know, a phone bill that's due? You think he can't take care of meeting your needs? Do you think that God can't do that? Oh, he can. And he will. For no good thing will he withhold. So when you hear rumors of being laid off or budget cuts or food's running low and you're not sure what's going to be happening or you're not sure how this thing is going to take care of, you can choose to worry about it and try to find a solution in your own strength and your own wisdom, or you can say, God, you're my Heavenly Father. And just as you have proven yourself throughout all of history to take care of your people, I believe you're going to take care of the situation. And I choose not to worry about it. I'll be diligent in doing the things you tell me to do if there's things I need to do, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to trust in you. I'll follow you. I'm going to seek you first, and I'm going to let you take care of everything else. If you want to know the things that you ought to worry about, the things you shouldn't worry about, here is the test. Only worry about the things that God is worried about. How's that? Only worry about the things that God is. You think God is worried about how something's, you think God is, what is God worried about? You only worry about the things that God is worried about. If God's worried about it, your Heavenly Father's worried about it, then you can come alongside, maybe give him some counsel, maybe encourage him. If you got a few bucks in your pocket, maybe you could give it to him or something, you know. No, our Heavenly Father worries about nothing. He is all-knowing. He is sovereign. He is powerful and just and grace and mercy. He is good. Amen? And he wants to pour that out on us. So many times we say, God, I'll take care of this on myself. And we only get ourselves into trouble. Will you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Father, we say thank you that you are a good Heavenly Father. You've proven it. You've proven your love for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. You've offered to us eternal life. You've been vulnerable to that point. Lord, I pray for anybody here today that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I ask that today they would decide to put their faith and trust in you. And in doing so, Lord, being able to be in that position of giving all their worries to you and leaving here today worry-free. Lord, I pray for the Christian this morning that we will heed your word this morning that says, be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about tomorrow. But seek first the kingdom of God. Be single. Be undivided. Be focused. And Lord, when those distractions come, as they did for Martha, Lord, that we would choose to lay those things aside and come and sit at your feet. Lord, when the rumor mill gets stirred at work, Lord, that we would put our faith and trust in you and not those rumors. We would choose not to worry about that. Lord, if we're going through a financial difficulty, Lord, that we would put our faith and trust in you in the area of finances. We would walk according to what your word teaches. And we've seen it, Lord, in the area of the tithe, Lord, that you will get the barns to overflowing, that you will meet those needs, or that you will rebuke the curse off of our life and the one that comes to destroy. Lord, that we would trust you, for you are trustworthy, and you've shown it many times. Thank you for your patience with us in those times, God, that we haven't trusted you. Lord, forgive us for those times that we attempted to do things in our own strength. And Lord, those situations that we worry about, again, they're usually because they're out of our control. But Lord, they're not out of your control. And so, Lord, we give them to you. And so, church, right now, this morning, between you and your Heavenly Father, give him your worries right now. Give him your worries right now. Confess them to the Lord. Repent for worrying about those things and give them to the Lord. Trust in him this morning. Give them freely to him. Bring in your worries today and let's get rid of them today. Let's give them to the Lord. Will you trust God in that situation? Child of God, will you trust your Heavenly Father to meet that need in that situation? Will you trust your Heavenly Father that he's leading you into all good things? Will you trust him this morning? Give him your worries. Give him your anxieties. Confess them to the Lord right now. Father God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for taking this burden off of us. And now, Lord, this morning we receive your peace. Lord, we receive it fresh and anew today, right now. The peace that you give us. Well, not as the world gives, but as you give. The peace that you have because you conquered this world. That victorious peace. Lord, that's what we receive. Lord, that peace in Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't have to worry about anything. We can be at peace. Even with the storm all around us, Lord, we can be sleeping in the boat on a cushion because we're at peace and we trust in our Heavenly Father. Father, we just pray your anointing over this church. God, we pray that this would be a church of peace. It would not be a place of worry. Be free from worry. Be free from anxiety. But it'd be a place full of faith and peace, that our mind's eye would be steadfast on you, Lord. Lord, may we, as we leave here today, God, may we leave in your peace. And when we're tempted this week to worry or pick something up and try to fix it ourselves, we would say, no, I'm not gonna worry about that. I'm gonna let God worry about that, and I'm gonna put my mind's eye focused on him. And I will bring him that need, even with thanksgiving, knowing that he is going to meet that need and take care of it. Worry-free living, Lord. May it be an example to the non-believer of the God that is in heaven and how he meets our needs beyond what we can imagine or think. Lord, you are good, and we say thank you for our time together here this morning. In Jesus' name, go with your people. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, God bless you and leave your worries here. Don't take them with you.